Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He
who rules all.
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then again Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And all of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. As Matthew teaches us about God, it should be obvious to us that we are not God. Now, I say that because our society has a habit of thinking that they are God. Religious groups have a habit of teaching people that they're not God, while the group itself is claiming the role of God. And other groups, they teach that people are God. Matthew, however, is going to great lengths to show us who God is, and then challenging us to become like God. And this is important. This is important because we cannot think that we are going to heaven, where God is, and that we can behave inappropriately when we get there, meaning we can't behave like we normally see our society behaving down here. We have to be different. So let us learn then, while we can, about who God is and how He does things, and then let's try to implement them in our own lives. Having said that, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So Matthew starts us off this section talking about himself in third person. But think about this, Matthew. Jesus calls a tax collector. Who is a tax collector? A rich man, a traitor, an abuser, an idolater. Tax collectors are called many things, and most of them are not good. Jesus calls them humans, and Jesus calls them to himself, because even they need him. Whatever your view is about the tax collector, those people are still people, and they need God. And Matthew puts himself here in this moment to let us know that he is one of the fortunate ones. He is the one who Jesus speaks to him, and he follows Jesus. He's in on the ground floor. He's there when it gets started, and he is one who heeds what Jesus has to say. Compared to when Jesus goes to dine, the Pharisees. And that contrast is important for us to grasp. See, how many times do we see your fellow man? How many times do you see your fellow man, no matter what job they have? Do you actually see the person? Jesus does. This is how God is different. Jesus came to call those who know that they need help. If you're in denial about needing help, Jesus cannot help you. That's the Pharisees. Matthew knew he needed help. So Jesus calls Matthew and then dines with others who are just like Matthew because they know that they need help. And the Pharisees are right there. And this is the contrast that Matthew wants us to see here in his gospel. What kind of a person are you? Are you like God? Or are you like these religious fanatics who are so perfect, who have everything just so right that they don't need Jesus? Which is really sad, because we all know that they really, really do need Jesus. Jesus sees people. He doesn't see careers. He doesn't see whether you're a tax collector or a prostitute or a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He sees people, people who need help. And the Pharisees, they sneer at Jesus because of this. Which is really interesting, because the Pharisees, they love honor, they love respect, they love money. And here's the tax collector, and the tax collector is a person who has respect and honor and money, and yet the Pharisees don't like him because he's on the other side. And Jesus says, "I've come to call the sick." And it doesn't matter if you're a Pharisee or a tax collector. If you're sick, I'm here for you. These religious experts, they say that they know God so well, but they really don't. Now, right after this, Matthew includes the teaching about fasting. John's disciples come to Jesus, and they've got a question about this. Matthew's inclusion of this question, it's not really about fasting. It's really about how Jesus does things differently. See, religiously, John, all his disciples fast, and the Pharisees, their disciples fast as well. And when it comes to Jesus, Jesus says, no, we're going to do things differently, folks. You cannot bring your religious traditions with you when you come to Jesus. This is how he does things differently. The world can be busy fasting, and right, but Jesus says, not so with me. If you're going to be like God, you need to leave all of those fancy religious ceremonies behind. Indeed, There are some today who reject Jesus because of the simplicity of the worship that he ordains. It's too simple for them. There has to be special clothing. There has to be special rites. There has to be special incantations. There has to be special people. There has to be special this and special that. More pomp, more glitter, more and more and more. And the problem with such an attitude is that you're actually constantly having to raise the bar. This week, you got flashing lights. Next week, you need fireworks and smoke. And the week after that, you need explosions. And the week after that, you need car chases and train wrecks and gunfights and human sacrifices. I'm exaggerating, of course. But the reality is that once you start down the road of needing something more, there never is enough. You will always want more, and you will always add to it. And God? What about God? Well, God will be left behind by you in order to have all that moreness, all that pomp, all that ceremony that your flesh desires. So let me encourage us today. Let's stick with wanting to be more like God, which is to care for the sick, to care for people. And let's leave it right there. Jesus proves to us that we cannot bring all our old religious behaviors with us and thoughts with us when we follow him. Old garments don't get new patches. Old wineskins don't get new wine. We have to get rid of the old garments. We have to use new wineskins. We have to make a change, and it's a big change. We have to change to be more like God and less like the world. Less like how we learn to behave growing up, and more like Jesus. And then that question arises again. Are we really sure that Jesus knows what he's talking about? See, all the way through this section, Matthew has been showing us over and over again, Jesus is the one to listen to pay attention to, because he is able to do these signs. And of course, that hasn't changed yet. Jesus still does the signs, and God approves of the message of Jesus. What does he do? Well, a woman is healed to prove this. A girl is raised from the dead to prove this. Some blind men are given sight to prove this. And each of these miracles are here to provide thought for us. It's not just the healings, it's why does he do these healings? See, there's many people today who are like this woman, suffered for years, willing to grasp at even the hem of Jesus, if only to stop the pain, if only to stop the torture, to stop the blood. Others of us were dead in our sins, the world having long given up hope for us, unwilling to help us one last time. And Jesus, though, he comes along, he sees our potential, and he raises us up. The world's given up on us. Jesus says, rise. See, Jesus is willing to meet us where we are. He will come to us. And this is significant because remember earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was approached by the centurion about healing a servant with a word, and Jesus does that. He doesn't even go to where the centurion is. He just says, that man is healed, and he is. But see, here Jesus goes to where the dead girl is. He heals her, raises her from the dead. He doesn't need to do that, but he does that because that's showing him caring for this person. What about the blind men? All of these things that Matthew brings out, just think about this. Jesus has done many healings. Jesus has cast out many demons. Matthew has these here for us to prove a point, to show us something. And here the blind men are able to see. So many of us were blind at one point, not knowing Jesus spiritually, not knowing God, and not knowing the goodness which is offered to us through God, eternal life. And then we can see. And it can be yours if you would come to God. It can be yours if you will let Jesus heal you and open your eyes. Unlike the Pharisees who have this attitude of, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God. And then right after that, the mute man who has the evil spirit, who's able to speak, the speaking. Those who have been healed have to speak. They get the opportunity to let the world know what God has done for them. God gives us the words to say. Read the scriptures. Tell people the good news of Jesus. They tell us all about Jesus in the scriptures, all about the love of God, all about the expectations that God has for us, how he teaches us to be more like him, and how he wants us to be more like him, because he is good, and he is loving, and he is kind, and we get to enjoy eternal life with him that he has given to us through his son. See, it's not random that Matthew includes these signs here for us. Matthew over and over has been telling us that Jesus did all these healings, that Jesus cast out all these demons, and then he gives us these examples for a reason, to show us that God does things differently. So what is God doing here in these healings, in these signs? He's pointing to us that we can have the healing, we can follow Jesus, and that we're called just as Matthew was called. Or, conversely, you can be like the Pharisees, who were so self-righteous that they couldn't even see their own need for Jesus. They, of their own volition, they themselves rejected Jesus. There was no reason for them to miss out on such a monumental time in their life, but they chose to pass on it anyway, because they thought that they didn't need him. Today, there's going to be people just like them. There will be people who will hear this message. There will be people who hear these words, and they will be like the Pharisees, thinking that they have no need of Jesus. They've got everything figured out, that they're doing everything right religiously, spiritually, that they've got this connection with God. But the reality is, they don't. And they're going to reject the teachings of Jesus. They're going to reject what Matthew is calling us to do, which is to change who we are, to become more like God and less like the world. They're going to hear that message, and they're going to say, no, we've got our religious ceremonies. We are good before God. And they really aren't. What they do is a sham. What they do is just a front to hide their own self-righteousness, which is not who God is. They're missing out terribly on who Jesus is, on who God is. Now, the final point that Matthew has for us in this section, it's spoken by Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore pray. See, we're supposed to read the Gospel of Matthew. We're supposed to read this section, and we're supposed to be like, yes, Jesus is the Christ. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah. And doesn't everybody need the Christ? Doesn't everybody need the Messiah? What do we need to do to let people know the good news? We're not supposed to be looking for others to do the work here. We all have work to do, and there is so much work to do that we need help from other people. That's why Jesus says the laborers are few, therefore pray, because we need more of us letting the world know that what Jesus has to offer is available to everybody. Jesus doesn't say, sit back and do nothing. Let your preacher do all the work. You just receive the message, and then you just sit back and just enjoy your couch potato time. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says there's so much work to do that we need help to do it together as a group. We Christians are supposed to be working together as laborers in the field of harvest. Man, if you ever look at farmers as they go out into the field, and I'm not talking about the ones who have all the fancy machinery today, but even so, they have a group of people that work together to harvest the fields. Why? Because there's so much food out there. Jesus says, the fields are white with harvest. The laborers are few. Look to God to provide for you. Work together in this process. The fields are white with harvest, Jesus said. Let's think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Now, it's important because that means someone else planted before me. Someone put seed into the, someone plowed the fields. Someone put seed into the ground. Someone watered the crops, and the sun shone, and God gave the increase, and the crops came up, and they're ripe. They're ready for the plucking. Here we are. We need to gather in the harvest, Jesus says. Now, some preachers, they'll teach that this instruction was only for Matthew's day, that the Jews, they'd been primed for the harvest by being Jews for years, and John the Baptist had given the message, and now we today, we need to, well, John the Baptist has been gone, so we need to plant all over again. We need to furrow the fields, we need to plant the seed, we need to let the crop grow up, because people today, they've not been taught to expect the coming Messiah. In fact, our society is so irreligious. Most people today have never even opened a Bible. They don't know what it says. But see, that's not Matthew's point at all. Matthew wants us to understand that the people in any age are ready for the Messiah because they all suffer. Remember all those healings, all those miracles, all those signs? We're all sick. We all need a physician. We need Jesus, all of us. We don't need to wait for the crops to be planted. We don't need to wait for the crops to ripen. The crops are ripe right now because every single one of us is dealing with a spiritual sickness right now. See, do we have spiritual, for example, go back to the beginning with Matthew. Do we have spiritual tax collectors today? Do we have spiritually bleeding people who need healing today? Do we have spiritually dead people today? Do we have spiritually blind people today? Do we have spiritually mute people today? You know that the answer to all of these questions is an easy and emphatic yes. We know that. And since we know all of this is true, what are we going to do? What shall we do with this information? And I do mean we, because the laborers are few. Shall we remain silent? Shall we jealously hoard the freedom, the love, the peace, the joy, the mercy, and the grace that God has given to us? Is that the example Jesus gives us? And the answer, of course, is no. Have we learned to be more like God yet? Have we shared the eternal life with which Jesus gives to us? Or are we still sitting back waiting for someone else to do the work for us? See, remember, Matthew was challenging us to do things God's way. What is Jesus doing here? And a lot of people make the mistake of thinking, well, I need to be out there healing and I need to be out there casting out demons. That is not what Jesus was about. It was a part of his ministry, but that was not the focus of his ministry. What was the focus of his ministry? Do you care for the tax collectors? Do you care for the woman who has the unstoppable bleeding? Do you care for people who are blind? Do you care for people who are mute? Do you care for people who are dead in their sins and trespasses? Do you care for people? See, Jesus came and he showed and he led and he taught and he is the example. And so now the question arises, are we being the example today? To whom are we modeling God right now? These are the questions that Matthew raises for us without saying. So, let me challenge you today. Turn to Jesus. He's calling you. He has come to call the sick. He offers you something that you cannot find in any religious system anywhere. He offers you a way to learn to be like God that you may have the kingdom of heaven, eternal life. And if you've been walking with Jesus, be like him. Invite others to follow Jesus as well. Invite them that they too may enter into the kingdom of heaven, that they may have eternal life. Those who are sick need Jesus. Can you see the sick? Can you see the suffering? Don't you want to help them? Reach out, touch them, lead them to Jesus. He will heal them. Jesus offers us this great opportunity of working alongside one another and working alongside God to bring people into the kingdom of heaven. Let me encourage you to take advantage of this great task that God has given to you. Share the gospel today. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F-41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
O land of rest for thee, I sigh, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll